Good morning, everybody. So there are two very powerful stories in today's gospel reading, in today's scripture readings. The first story is a story of Naaman, the Syrian, and it's important to know that his nationality is actually given to us, who was healed of his leprosy. And the other is the Jesus healing the 10 lepers, and again, one leper returns whose nationality is given to us by name. And as powerful as these stories are, I would like to reflect on them from the perspective of a sentence from today's second reading, and it's Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul says, "But the word of God is not chained." The word of God is unfettered. So that's the perspective through which I want to interpret the other readings as well. But let me provide the context for these words from Paul before I draw the three practical implications for today. Now, it's obvious from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8 to 9, that Paul was actually writing from prison. Hear him. "Such is my gospel," he writes, "for which I'm suffering even to the point of chains like a criminal." So he's writing from prison. In fact, this was Paul's second imprisonment. He was first put in prison in 62 AD after his fourth missionary journey. During this time, he wrote the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy and also the letter to Titus. Paul's second imprisonment was during the Emperor Nero, around 66 to 67 AD. However, there was a big difference between Paul's first imprisonment and his second imprisonment. During his first imprisonment, he was actually in a rented house, what today we might call house imprisonment. He was confined, but not really in chains. But the second time, the time when he writes this particular letter to Timothy, he languished in a cold dungeon, and he was chained like a common criminal. Even his friends, who during his first imprisonment had access to him in some way, did not know where he really was. He was lonely and probably exhausted. Paul knew that his work was done and that his life was nearly at an end. So he decides to write to Timothy a second time, which is also our second reading. So here are my three points for today. And first, I want to talk about the gospel and what it meant for Paul, who finds himself in chains. As Paul languished in prison, his primary concern remained the gospel. And this is what fascinates me about Paul. Even when Paul had every reason to drown himself in self-pity or even fear of a painful death, Paul continued to remain obsessed with the gospel and its saving effect on humanity. If I was in prison for whatever reason, especially if it's the gospel, my primary concern right now would be my mother. For Paul, it was the gospel. Therefore, he writes, "I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ together with eternal glory. For Paul, the gospel remained above all in his life. The gospel was primary. Not only was he immersed in the gospel, not only did he spend his time for the spread of the gospel, but even at the lowest point of his life, his burden was for the free movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was chained, but the word of God is not chained. It is the single-minded devotion to the gospel that makes him say in today's reading, if I have died with him, then I shall live with him. So I want to present a few questions that you might take home with you this week to reflect upon. And here are a few questions. No matter how life ends for us, and we don't know how life will end, or when it will end, will we be able to say, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him, or if I have died with him, I will also live with him. The kind of confidence in the life that we have led that has the gospel as the primary force in our lives, that is what the statement is all about. That I have not lived for myself, that I've lived for Christ and the gospel, and so now that I'm dying, I know I shall live with him. Would we discover at the end of our lives that the word of God was unfettered in our lives? For example, yes, we are asking ourselves, does the word of God have free reign in my life? Is the gospel above all and above everything that I am? Is my life a shout out to the gospel of Jesus Christ like it was for Paul? So reflect upon your relationship with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And secondly, I want to talk about the word of God, as Paul says that the word of God is not chained. I want to talk about the character of God's word. When Paul says, but the word of God is not chained, he's describing the nature of God's word. And Paul is saying that the word of God cannot be fettered. God created the universe by God's word. Nero put Paul in prison, hoping to put an end to the menace of the word of God. Little did Nero know that putting Paul in prison was hardly the solution to the problem. Because you can chain Paul, you cannot chain the word of God. The word of God is free. The word of God is powerful. The word of God heals. The word of God saves. The word of God accomplishes what it's meant to accomplish, Nero or no Nero. In today's first reading, Naaman, the ailing Syrian leper, is healed when he obeys the words of the prophet Elisha. The 10 lepers in today's gospel reading were healed simply because they were obedient to the words that Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. So the practical implication is this, folks. Today's readings are an invitation to put our unconditional faith in the word of God. For example, the word of God invites us to forgive. The word of God invites us to love our enemies. Does the word of God remain unchained in our lives, or do we put limits to what the word of God can do in our lives? If the word of God can be unchained in our lives, if the word of God can have a free reign in our lives, if we relate to the word of God like Paul, like Naaman and the 10 lepers did, then healing, power, and salvation can be ours as well. But we have to allow the word of God to have a free reign in our lives. Reflect upon it this coming week. My third point, I've titled it, Jesus Unchained. So I want to emphasize another important detail in today's first and gospel readings. Naaman, the man healed, was the military Israelite who was captured in a bloody battle, is receiving him as someone who has taken an Israelite wife by force. Folks, the healing might not have taken place that day, but it did, because the word of God is unchained. Despite the political and cultural enmity, God healed. In the gospel reading too, Luke does not fail to tell us that the healed leper who returned to thank Jesus was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans were bitter enemies. On that day, healing might not have taken place, but Jesus is unfettered. Jesus is unchained. The word made flesh is unchained. So here's my practical implication for us today. Too often we believe that God thinks like us. Too often we believe that our enemies are God's enemies and our friends are God's friends. Take the hint, folks. God will not be fettered by our prejudices, our enmities, our pettiness, our limitations. We do not own God. It's the other way around. The universe and all in it belongs to God. So very soon, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, will be with us on the altar. And as we receive the Word made flesh in Holy Communion, let us allow Him to be unchained in our lives. Let us allow Christ to have a free reign in our lives so that healing and salvation might be ours as well. People of God said, Amen.